And our next, we'll move into our next panel now, and it's called Touching the Court, A Haptic Experience. With we've got Bree Fraser and Jeff Tom and Leslie Tom are going to do the presentation. So why don't you go ahead and let's get that started.
Wonderful. Hi, everyone. My name is Bree Fraser. I'm calling in from Seattle, Washington, to speak today about One Court. And Leslie, I'm honored to share the stage with Jeff and Leslie. Leslie, did you want to introduce yourself as well? I'm sure maybe you don't need introduction, but
No, actually I don't. But I'm Leslie Tom and I'm from Sacramento.
wonderful. So I first met Leslie because she's a current season ticket holder at the Sacramento Kings, which is one of the NBA basketball teams that One Court partnered with this year. So I'm really excited to leverage Leslie's lived experience of using One Court. So Leslie, feel free to jump in as we go to share your perspective as well.
Okay.
Wonderful. So first I'll start with a description of what One Court is. So at One Court, we are creating a tactile sports broadcast that makes live sports more accessible to fans with visual disabilities. And so we're particularly building this technology with the blind and low vision community. And so we have created a tactile tablet. It's about 13 inches by 7 inches as it sits on your lap. It's about 2 inches thick. And on the surface of the device, we have over 200 haptic motors. And so what we do is we translate the live gameplay that's happening with sports games, and we translate that through trackable vibrations so fans can follow the game through touch. And so that's a little bit about what we do. But maybe I'll start with describing why the team at One Court started to create this tactile technology. So we heard three main challenges that folks were experiencing when enjoying live sports. And we heard that often live sports was an inaccessible experience because audio broadcasts or the radio can fail to convey detailed information about the play, but also it's often delayed and not in real time. So the first one was that missing key details. Things like where the ball and the player positions are. Sometimes sports commentators, as wonderful and excited as they can get, sometimes they're talking about their lunch rather than what's happening on the court or the field. And so there were key details that were missing from the play. The second challenge was that there's often an audio delay. The radio can be delayed anywhere from 30 to 90 seconds if the venue doesn't have an enclosed circuit radio, which luckily Leslie and the Sacramento Kings do, but not every venue has that live radio. And the third is that just generally the in-venue experience can be inaccessible. And so even if folks have interest in going to a live game, many choose not to attend these live events. Leslie, from your perspective, have you felt any of these challenges in the past?
Yes, we used to take a radio to the event, to the games, and then all of a sudden the radio feed wasn't working inside the arena, and that meant we were just kind of sitting there going, "Well, what's going on?" We had no idea unless the announcer said something. Oh, and so they worked on that and got the radio feed to come in through receivers that we borrow at the game. And then when One Court came in, it was a whole nother experience. We basically were able to tell exactly, where the ball was, where it's moving to, what side the team's basket is on that you're looking for, so you can tell the vibrations going that direction. It made things open up so much to me.
Wonderful. Thank you, Leslie. And so as we start to describe, what the device feels like or the experience that it brings, I'll provide a little bit more detail about what the surface of the device is like. So underneath or sorry, over top those 200 haptic motors that I was describing, we have an interface. It's a thin silicone grippy layer, and we actually customize it for every sport. So the surface of a basketball court is going to feel different because it has different tactile lines than, say, a baseball diamond or a soccer field. And so by layering that tactile map, if you could call it a map of the court, then a fan is able to feel through touch, not only the dimensions of the court, but where the play is happening on that court in real time. And Leslie, maybe you could describe what exactly you're feeling. Like, what is tracking the ball feel like on the device, and what is a 2-point versus a 3-point shot feel like on the device?
Yeah, the feeling of it is that when the vibrations are moving around on the display, and you can feel the lines that they have on the device are raised, so that there is the free throw line, the lane where the 3-point shots would be. The basket is also another feeling. It's very small circle at one end. So when the ball is coming to that side, you feel the vibrations and it's rushing. It's going fast, pretty quick. So you follow it and you can tell exactly where the ball is on the court or where it is in relationship to the lines that denote the play. And so you're following it, and it has also a voice component that tells you a few things, and they will tell you when they've actually made the shot, when it, what team, or what the score is at any point in time. You can push a button to find out exactly what it is at that moment. But you might just tell them how the feed is actually presented. I mean, with the cameras in the ceiling and how the timeline goes, how it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it was really important to us that not only we could describe what's happening on the court through touch, but we wanted it to be real time. We wanted it to be live. And so what we realized early on in the development of OneCourt was that we didn't actually need to collect this data, this information about what was happening on the court, because the professional leagues were already collecting it. So they, depending on the league, either use cameras in the arenas, or they use chips that are might be in the shoulder pads and football, or maybe there's even a chip in the football itself. And these leagues, like the NBA for basketball, are collecting immense amounts of data. It's pretty hard to imagine, but they're tracking 20 points on every player's body. Everything from the angle of their elbow to how fast they're running. And of course, we don't need all of that detailed information. We only need to know where the ball is, where the players are, and what's happening in the play. Are they shooting? Are they dribbling, etc.? And so by building relationships directly with the leagues, we've been able to access this data. And so in our first year of working full time on this company, because it is a younger company, we started out of the University of Washington a few years ago. We were able to get free access to this data to create a proof of concept. And so we had data from the MLB baseball, from NBA basketball, and from NFL football. And so we were able to prove through a few pilots that this experience really is real time. So the leagues are collecting the data on the court or on the field. We access that data from the internet, so the devices are connected to the internet either through Wi-Fi or a 5G connection technology, and it's under 3/10 of a second, so less than a second delay between what's happening on the court and feeling it on the device, which is pretty incredible.
It's
And so
amazing. amazing so fast.
Yeah, it is amazing. It's hard to fathom sometimes. And so I think that's really where the experience goes from good to great, is the whole arena will cheer when, let's say the Kings at Golden 1 Center in Sacramento make an important shot. And fans can now interpret that for themselves rather than relying on someone else to relay that info and cheer in real time. That's one of my favorite anecdotes to hear from fans is for the first time they feel like they're a part of the game rather than just going to an event, they feel a part of the event, which I think is a huge difference.
I would like to say that for me, in using this device several times this year, I felt, and I really do feel part of it. I'm there feeling the vibrations and the play going fast to the other, to the basket, and I'm like, yeah, come on. I feel like I'm part of it. I really do, and I never felt that before. I would listen to it, we heard it on the radio feed, but the actual feeling of it happening even ahead of the radio feed basically is it's been amazing to me. And I get so excited, and I'm feeling the vibrations, and it's going towards our basket. Okay, come on, come on. And I feel so much a part of the game.
Thank you, Leslie. I'm so glad you're here today to give your anecdotes as we go through today. So we've talked about the technology, we've talked about, the problem that we're trying to solve, the challenges with in-venue. But I think it's also important to note that in-venue is only one way that we're bringing one court to fans. So currently we are working with five NBA teams. Basketball teams, we started off with the Portland Trailblazers. They were our first launch partner. And then we quickly expanded to the Sacramento Kings, the Phoenix Suns, the Brooklyn Nets, and the LA Clippers. So pretty exciting to have two out of five of our teams in California. And then we're looking to expand to MLB baseball for this summer. And so there's a lot of discussions happening with MLB teams to see who are going to be our first launch partners. And so by offering the device in stadium, it's been at no cost to fans. So in some cases, we've been able to give away free tickets. In other cases, fans will purchase their own tickets or be a season ticket holder like Leslie. And all a fan needs to do is check the device out from guest services at no cost. And the reason why we wanted to start this way, this business model, is because we're able to have five devices, for example, in Sacramento, or 10 devices in Phoenix. And every game, it could technically be a new fan trying one court for the first time. And so for us, we wanted to be able to scale the hardware to a small amount. So we had about 30 devices across the NBA, but reach as many fans as we could. So we had over 200 fans from the blind and low vision community try one court this past basketball season. And so after each of these games, we're collecting feedback. We want to hear from fans what went well, what can we continue to improve. And a great example of that is from fans in Sacramento. We heard, we want more details about the play. So for example, Leslie was describing the audio bites that accompany the haptics. So we'll have short form audio that says things like shot attempt, shot made, foul, or rebound. But fans wanted to know who was shooting and who were they passing to and who just made that shot or who got fouled. So things like player information we've now been able to build into our baseball experience for this summer. So every time a fan tries it, we want to hear their feedback. And then eventually we're going to be scaling to at home. So next year, by 2026, our goal is to have the at-home one-court experience available. So you can imagine, just like you have a TV doing a visual broadcast or the radio doing an audio broadcast, we want to have one court being that tactile broadcast for sports. And so you could stream any sport, any game from the comfort of your home. So fans could sign up for which leagues that they want to stream on the device. So there would be an upfront cost for the device itself, as well as a league pass for whichever sports that you want to follow that season. So those are the two ways that we're bringing One Court to fans. And maybe I can talk a little bit about our collaboration with organizations. So there's been two ways that we've really been collaborating. The first way is to spread awareness. This is a new way to be enjoying live sports. And so it's really important for us to get the word out there as much as possible. So we'll often attend events like this. So big thanks to Jeff and Leslie for inviting One Court to join, so that more folks can hear about the technology, and we can learn more about experiences, current experiences with live sports. It offers an opportunity for us to gather newsletter and waitlist signups, which is really helpful for us because when we look at our waitlist, we look at where people are located across the country. And then those are the sports teams that we look to partner with. So a big reason why we were able to bring One Court to two teams in California is because we have so much support from the state, across, not just in LA, but more broadly. And so that's been really helpful in us going to sports teams and saying, hey, these are all the fans that we have that would love to have One Court at your venue and would attend. And so those waitlist signups really help us connect the dots between community and these sports teams. And then eventually that waitlist will be the first pool of people that will have access to the at-home device because we're looking to launch in a little bit of a phased approach. So launching X number of devices every few months. And so folks on that list will get first dibs on those devices. And then the third way is doing community activations. So we love traveling to different parts of the country to demo the One Court device because Leslie and I can sit here and describe it as much as we want, but there's nothing that beats actually feeling it for yourself. So we'll attend community events to run demos. When we're able to, we'll invite fans to join us for live activations and games. And then most recently, we've actually started doing watch parties, which has been a lot of fun. So you can imagine you and your friends and family joining us at a local sports bar. We bring One Court devices and then we sync them to the TV broadcast at the sports bar, or pub, or restaurant. So sighted fans might be using the TVs in the sports bar, and then blind or low vision fans can be using the One Court devices to follow along in real time. And so we just recently did a baseball watch party last weekend, and it was a ton of fun. Leslie, anything you wanted to add to that?
No, well, I don't, I think that having that type of situation with watch parties to show this device, you really need to feel it, to be able to understand exactly how it works. So that is fabulous with the watch parties. And we have them, the devices, but we have, I think, five of them at the Kings games. But I was, wondering about how do we get them to get more? Because there are several blind fans that, that I know of that were waiting for the devices and didn't get to use them certain times.
Yeah.
But
It's a great question. We are always encouraging teams to up the quantity of devices because we keep record of how often they're used and not only utilization rates, but also the number of games where people didn't get a device because the demand was so high. And something that I think the sports teams are realizing is that you may have a few nights where only a few fans are there. Maybe you have two or three devices used out of five. But more often, people want to come with friends and family. People want to travel to the game in groups and enjoy it with other people because sports is such a community experience. And so more often, there's more people than devices that are requesting it. And so the best way, honestly, is a two-prong approach, I would say. One, contacting your local teams and letting them know and saying, hey, have you heard of One Court? If you don't have One Court, when is your team planning to get One Court devices? At this point in time, I would say most teams know what One Court is, and some, a good portion of them, are already in discussion with us. So anytime a fan reaches out and advocates for these devices to be available, that's very helpful. And then the second part is joining our wait list, because we're able to look at those numbers and we say, hey, X number of fans that are local to this area or are huge supporters of this team want this device. And so we're also doing that advocating on our side as well.
Right. That's perfect, because that's what I think people need to realize is go to your guest services or your team people and tell them what you want and that you really want this device, and that's the way to get it put in more venues everywhere.
Absolutely. I mean, that's how you got the radio, right? Your radio stopped working and then you were able to get
Yes,
live.
we told them that this was not acceptable. If we were season ticket holders, we needed to be able to get the feed somehow. And the next game, they had it working.
Well, Bree and Leslie, we still have time, so I wonder if we can open it up for questions. To start with, and it's very intriguing sounding. So, do we have any raised hands?
Yep, you have seven of them.
Ooh, okay. All
So
right.
we're gonna start with area code 916 ending in 307. You can go ahead.
This is Jim Montano, and I have two questions. The first one is you mentioned about your plan in the near future to start having this integrated through streaming at people's residence or possibly, at sports bars. Can you tell us something about the advocacy work that you and other groups that are working with you are doing with the Federal Communications Commission to get satellite providers like DirecTV to carry this tactile thing? I'm a user, well, I have DirecTV, and right now they won't even carry audio description. They say we don't have to do it, and we're not going to do it. And yet they have the networks that you will carry, the networks that will be streaming your tactile thing. And I'm wondering how, what you're going to be, what kind of work is going on behind the scenes that you can share about changing the regulations to require that entities like Dish and DirecTV provide that. The other question is, what is the long-term picture in terms of going beyond sports in the use of this technology that you've developed? And thank you. I look forward to your answers.
Yeah, great questions. So on the advocacy front, we know there are groups like ACB that are already working on this advocacy piece of one, live sports being more accessible, but two, broadcasters making their broadcasts more accessible. So we don't want to be replicating work. We want to be working together on that. On our front, we've found success working directly with the sports teams and making either their broadcasts more accessible. For example, with MLB, they have their MLB TV, or they have the MLB app, for example. How can we make that more accessible because we're already partnering with them? Another example, which nothing has been formalized yet, but for example, Paramount. Like Paramount Plus has expressed interest in seeing how we can make the broadcast more accessible and include something like One Court. So these are all very early exploratory conversations, but it's definitely important to us.
And the Paramount Plus is something that is definitely carried by DirecTV. And what is, and the thought is then, the other question is, going beyond sports, do you have any idea what your technology could be adapted to?
Yeah, there are so many ideas that community members have shared with us. Everything from live concerts to plays, to race car. I know racing is still sport and dance is still sport even, but different forms of sport, not your classic court and ball. We've talked about gaming, having games on the surface of the device. So I think there's lots of opportunities to expand beyond. Sports is just the beginning.
Then I will get off. I would suggest trying air shows, like Blue Angels or Thunderbirds, just using them as an example.
And
it's multiple things at the same time, high in the sky, but that would make air shows a lot more accessible and exciting. They were already exciting, but having that. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate this presentation.
All right. So your next hand is going to be Robert Acosta.
I don't know. Number one, how does the team contact One Court? You're going to give us contact information, I hope. Secondly, Leslie, if there is a challenge on a player, a foul, how much do you get to see? I mean, are they going to say, oh, there's LeBron's elbow in the guy's face? Or sometimes they'll say, LeBron did a 360 degree spin. Does the ball spin? And they say on the radio, that's LeBron spinning. I'm not clear on that.
No. Right now, we don't have that information as
okay.
far as
on, it will.
They've talked about it, and they have the information, but Bree will explain that. I think at this point, it's just where the ball is and where it's heading to, and what and where it's thrown, you know.
Leslie, can you see a play being developed? You'd have to know the play if they said number four and they, you know,
right now, they don't.
Can you see it develop or just follow the ball?
Just right now, it's just following.
Okay.
That's why the broadcast
good
is
yes.
there with it to help at this point. And I know Bree will tell you about how they're planning. There's other things they can do with the players, but at this point, we don't know which player has the ball. We just know it's coming to our side of the court and where it's at exactly on the court.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want to conclude by saying that this is a wonderful idea and that our nice lady sounds terrific. And I hope I'll be able to see the day when USC beats Stanford with the dots going back and forth. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for the support. Just to quickly add to what Leslie said, currently the radio broadcast is going to give that detailed commentary of the play. There's two ways that we could start to incorporate that. We could either stream the radio directly through the device. So a fan could choose if they're listening to the radio or One Court commentary. We can't do that yet, but something we're exploring. And then the second one is having fan profiles. So maybe Leslie doesn't want the detailed commentary. She just wants to know who has the ball and what's happening, or versus maybe someone really wants a detailed commentary of everything that's happening. How can we support both those experiences so a fan could customize the audio that they're receiving, the level of detail? So those are two ways we're exploring right now.
All right.
Okay.
You have seven hands. I don't know how long
well,
you guys...
It's just a little after three, and mm-hmm. Originally we were going to go until four, so
okay.
Let's go ahead and do a few more, and then I'd like to ask a couple questions as well when they're finished, if they haven't been answered yet.
All right, so we're going to have Diane, followed by Nellie.
Hi. Let's see. Does it work with hockey?
Ah, yes. Hockey is the next sport that we are developing on the device. We just recently started to get access to NHL data. I'm a huge hockey fan, so I'm
Me
advocating
too.
Hard for
yeah.
that. Yeah.
And the San Jose Sharks, the arena's only about 10 to 15 minutes away from me, so that'd be really cool. And the Warriors, it's up in San Francisco. Their arena's a little farther, and it'd be harder for me to get to by myself. But the Sharks, I mean, I could easily go by myself if I wanted to. And with this, I probably would, because mm-hmm. Not a lot of people in my family like hockey. A few of them do, but oh, I love it. And that'd be great for to have something like this to go, to a game, have it at a game. And then I imagine so when the play's going one way, and then the dots will be going the one way, and then when then they'll go back the other way. Is that how that works?
Yeah, exactly. And then there would be some type of audio cue that there's a change in possession from team to team.
Oh, so you wear like a headset or?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Forgot about you wear an actual headset. And what I do is I get the receiver and I have one earbud in one ear and I put the headset over that, so I'm listening to the broadcast and also the one court device at the same time.
then Leslie, do you take your not to interrupt, sorry. Do you take your own radio to the game, or do you use one that they
Not
provide?
anymore. Not anymore, because the broadcast wouldn't go through into the arena for some reason a couple of years ago. It started not happening. So that's when they have receivers at the arena that I go and request, and they'll give me it, and it's set on one of their program channels. We also have audio description at the arena. So these are the receivers that you would use for that as well. And they have one station program to the radio feed.
Oh, cool. Okay. Thank you. I'll let the next person go. Thank you very much.
Diane, let's stay in touch. The Sharks are on our list, so.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. Definitely.
Awesome.
Wow.
Sounds
Great.
great.
Thanks.
All right, so we are going to have Nellie followed by Jamie's.
Wow, this is so exciting. I think it's wonderful. Jane's idea of a possibility of being able to access an air show sometime in the future would be just amazing. I am a airplane aficionado, and I'm very proud of the fact that the planes of fame are moving to Santa Maria, California, so they will be like 3 miles away. But the question I wanted to ask is, have you had any interest in horse racing, like in California, the horse racing in Del Mar and in Santa Anita Racetrack? Has there been any interest in that?
Yeah, we've actually had racetracks reach out to us. My colleague Alexa, she manages all of our sports and business partnerships. She has been approached before, both from race car racetracks and horse racetracks, to see
Oh.
even sailing races off the coast,
Oh,
off
wow.
the coast of California. So I think there are so many applications to the haptics to describe live gameplay of any type, really. So I think for us, our first question is always what data is currently being captured. When it comes to things like horse races or car races, that data is already being collected. And so then it's a matter of how do we translate that onto the device? And then who do we work with at the racetrack or the league level to bring this technology to light? And I would say right now, the demand for applications on where the technology could go is outpacing our team's ability to service those sports and those entertainment pieces. So it's an exciting place to be, and we know that we want to keep growing.
Yeah, I would imagine that there would be a tremendous interest in that. In 2024, I went to the Cal State University Northridge International Technology Conference, and I saw a device. I don't know if it was one court, but it was something demoing what you have described, where a person can place their hands on a device and actually feel the layout of the racetrack and the movement through vibration as to where the cars were going. So I don't know if you guys were there or if that was somebody else that has a similar device, but I thought that was really great.
Wow. Yeah, maybe it was someone else. We were at CSUN, the Assistive Tech Conference, this year in 2025, but We don't have a prototype yet for racing. So maybe we have a partner that out there that we can partner.
Yeah, there's somebody else out there already doing it. I didn't go this year, but keep up the good work. This is great. Thank you.
Thank you, Nellie.
All right, so we're going to have Jimmy followed by Shauna.
Did you mean Jamie?
Oh, Jamie, sorry. Yes, I'm sorry.
No problem. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, man, I'm so excited about this. So I have a couple questions really quick. How do you join the wait list? When you do join the wait list, are we like, we have statuses about maybe those teams or team? And then what the progress is or how soon or whatever. And then on the device itself, you were talking about the headsets. And I want to know if the headsets instead of a, I mean, the device, instead of it using a headset, is it compatible where it can be connected to our smart hearing aids?
Mm-hmm. Two great questions. I can talk to the wait list, and then Leslie, I see maybe you want to jump in too. The best way to join our wait list is by visiting our website. So that's onecourt, onecourt.io. That's the best way. You can join on the homepage, or we have a for home section of the website where you can join our wait list there. And it'll give you the option to opt into our monthly newsletters. Those will be regular communication from our team that give updates on what we're up to, teams we're working with, any fun updates we can share. And then we will also send email blasts out specifically to where you're located. So if you choose to share your city, your state, and your favorite sports teams with us, then we'll also reach out when those opportunities arise. On the device side, fans are currently welcome to bring their own headset if they wish, so they could bring earbuds or over-ear headphones, but they do require that 3.5 millimeter audio jack to plug into the device. We're hopeful in the future that we'll be able to implement Bluetooth technology, so it could be your smart hearing aids, it could be AirPods, it could be your favorite Bluetooth set that you can connect to the device, but we don't currently have that set up yet.
Okay, thank you. And then my last question is, when are you going to get the Dallas Cowboys up?
Woo-hoo. Oh, that's a great question. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys are such a franchise, right? Everybody knows them, whether they're from Dallas or not. So they'd be a dream team for us to work with for sure.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to have Shauna followed by Stephanie.
Hi, this is Shayna. My question is, how exactly does it work as far as all the different ways that it's haptic, of course, but how does it feel like when somebody makes a basket as opposed to someone just going down the court towards a basket, or how is that displayed, or for lack of a better word?
Mm-hmm. I'll start to describe, and then Leslie, feel free to jump in. Mm-hmm. So we vary the intensity, the duration, and the pattern of the vibrations. So currently, your cell phone, for example, has one of these motors in it. But when it vibrates, it could vibrate with different patterns, but really mm-hmm. It vibrates the whole phone. When we vibrate the motors, they're really small. Each individual motor is probably about smaller than your pinky nail. And so when you feel it underneath your in your hands, in your palms, you can pinpoint exactly in your palm or on your hand where that vibration is happening. It's really, really localized. So you can imagine it's almost like someone drawing a line across your palm. The vibrations of the motors are going to draw a path underneath your hands so that you can feel that ball moving across the court. And then we vary the vibration. So it's a really strong vibration when they take the shot, and then a really strong vibration when it hits the hoop, whether they make it or they miss. And then in football, we switch to football. A touchdown is going to feel like a really strong vibration of the whole end zone, versus a tackle is going to feel like a really specific point on the board is vibrating and it'll pulse. So there's a little bit of a learning curve to learn what each of those patterns mean. But that's why pairing it with the audio is really helpful, because you have audio description of what those plays are and what those haptic vibrations mean.
Thank you.
And also the vibrations, they move very quickly, so you get used to, following them. And like I said, when I feel the vibrations and it's going real fast to the basket, it's right there. It's like you can't really tell if it goes in the basket. Like she said, it's when it comes, it hits the basket that, but the movement, I mean, you definitely can feel it because the basket is a little tiny round circle in at one spot in the court, and on the lines that you feel, there's a dotted line, and this is tactily, you feel it physically on the board, and you can tell that the ball, where it is in those lines or outside of them, if it's not on your side, there's you can tell when the ball is coming and where it is. And also, one of the things that I was not aware of, and it kind of parts to this, at one point, the vibrations were right under the basket, and it was on a pause. It was on a timeout, I guess, getting ready for somebody to shoot a free throw. Well, I didn't know that what they did, where was the ball when somebody's getting ready to throw? They're not holding it, and I didn't know whether they were holding the ball, getting ready to shoot, or what. Well, I found out that under the basket is where the umpire was standing with the ball in hand. So he was waiting to throw it to the player who was going to shoot. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. Now I understand that why was that area vibrating? Well, because that's where the ball was. And I was really, fascinated on after that, looking during the timeouts and stuff, and see where exactly the ball is. So it's quite interesting.
All right, so we're going to have Stephanie followed by area code 650 ending in 688.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you so much. This presentation warms my heart because I love sports. I am especially a baseball fan. True confession here, I live in Sacramento and I love my city in a lot of ways, but I am a passionate Dodger fan. So hopefully One Court is doing everything they can to work with the Dodgers. That said, I'm wondering, once the subscription portion of your experience becomes live, will we be able to access out of market games in that? And then I have not a follow-up question to that, but I have an additional question once you've finished the first answer. Thank you.
Yeah, first thing I'll say is if you're a Dodgers fan, email Dodgers guest experience, because the Dodgers are in discussions with us right now, and any nudge from community helps.
So that would be Dodgers guest experience, all lowercase, at dodgers.com, or
I can confirm with you after, Stephanie.
Oh,
Yeah.
sure, of course.
Yeah,
Thank
I'll
you.
find out the exact email.
Yeah, I have to have them. I must. I love my friends up here. We're Giants fans, and this is my home. I've been here over 30 years now, but yeah, once a Dodger, always a Dodger. That
Yep,
anyway,
get it, see you.
they're gonna kill me later in the hospitality for that one. But my other comment, and I'll be
Your
brief,
question
I
about the
may.
at-home experience? Yeah. So that subscription, we're currently working with both NBA, MLB, and NFL to figure out what that home subscription would look like. From their perspective, they want to open up the game. They want to make it more accessible. So they haven't mentioned anything to us about out of market, in market restrictions. the goal that we're negotiating towards, and negotiating seems like a heavy word. It's really partnership with them. We're working with them towards is having a full season, every game, every team, streamed on the device for one price for a year. And that price, we're aiming for it to be anywhere between $100 and $150, for a package of either one team or multiple teams, or sorry, one sport or multiple sports.
So I'll take gift cards and gifts from all my friends out there in CCB. My last question is, I know we have no doubt people, I won't just say young people, but people who are perhaps in college studying one thing and another who might want to be interns with One Court. Can you speak to that and how they might apply? And again, I thank you so much. You and Leslie, thank you. Take me to a Kings game, please.
I invited you.
I know, I missed that one, but we'll do another one. Thank
We'll
you
do it
so
again.
much. We'll do it again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephanie. Your question on internships. So I first got involved with One Court as a student at the University of Washington. I was doing my master's and I heard about One Court and I just asked to get involved. And so I started volunteering and then eventually moved into a full-time role. And we have a mixture of folks on our team. We have sighted folks. We have a user experience designer who has been blind since birth, and he designs everything from our main menu to interactions to how the haptics feel on the surface. And we currently have a social media intern that just started with us a few weeks ago. So I think as we continue to grow as a team, there will be more and more opportunities for folks to get involved. And I think a common thread across everyone that works at One Court is that we believe that sport should be for everyone. And so if there's folks that are aligned with that vision, I encourage them to reach out because you never know what opportunity might come up.
And again, it's that website, onecourt.com.
Onecourt.io.
I'm sorry, .io. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, so we have area code 650 ending in 688, and following them is going to be Donna Pomerantz.
Now, do I really get to talk? I don't believe this. I never dreamed that there'd be this much of a congregation of sports psychotics as we seem to have here. What I'm interested in is what this is telling us about how people perceive things. And I've been a psychology graduate student and so forth, and it's frustrating to me that practically everything we know about perception is visual, not even auditory. I mean, auditory, there's some, but tactile, and I'm glad you used the term haptic, because I learned that from one of my professors. We don't know anything about how the body takes in information about what's going on around it and so forth, and how where it is. And this sounds like it might be going toward that. Somebody once asked me how a blind person can play the piano. And I thought, well, now that's an interesting thing to wonder about, because you have to, obviously you have to know, your brain has to know where your fingers are to do that.
Roger,
and
did
then
you have a question?
We don't know how that works. So
do you have a question?
Hey, I asked my question. Goodbye.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so we're going to have Donna Pomerantz followed by area code 970 ending in 874.
Hi there. Mitch and I got to experience the device at the CSUN conference. So I believe it was yourself that we met. And Mitch was real more excited about baseball, because he is definitely an avid Dodgers fan. In fact, he's over there in his man cave and recliner listening to Dodgers pregame show right now. So, but I had just wanted to, you know, say that it's very exciting, the possibility of knowing exactly where the ball is at, you know, in proximity to the next area and so on and so forth. And just want to thank you for what you're doing. And just for me to reconfirm, that email, no, I'm sorry, that website is onecourt.io, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think I actually have Mitch's email.
Oh, yes, he gave it to you. Yes, yes.
Yeah, you and Mike are on our wait list already. So
awesome.
I remember meeting you both at
yeah.
Pomerance is familiar.
Yes, and Mike, Mitch is the one that steered Mike over there to go and find you guys before they left. So that's awesome. We can't wait to hear about the Dodgers. Woohoo! Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to have area code 970 ending in 874, and Livy is going to follow that person.
That'll be the last. Livy will be the last.
Hi, this is Catherine Johnson, and I'm in Colorado, but I'm a CCB member, and I like baseball, but I don't get to go too often. So I'm really excited about this device and finding out more about it. Do you think that it could be used as a teaching tool to learn about, I don't know anything about soccer or anything about rugby, but I wanted to learn. And my nephew taught me everything I know about hockey, and he was my announcer at the two hockey matches that I've gone to. But it would be wonderful to take this device. Do you have to talk to them ahead of time when you are going to a live hockey game, for example? Thank you.
I love that you brought that up. I forgot to talk about that as another use case. I'm so excited about the opportunity for education and teaching. I think I've heard from a lot of fans that say I didn't think sport was for me because I didn't fully understand how the game went. And so not only through the tactile interface that we have that has the court dimensions and the field of play, I'd love to have it as a teaching tool or even a coaching tool. So you can imagine you have a goalball team at an elementary school or a high school level, and you're teaching plays of goalball. Can you imagine having a coach have a device and draw out a play on, let's say, an iPad, and then that vibrates on the device and they can feel what that play is supposed to feel like? Cool. That's just one example, but I would love for us to expand into teaching and coaching and education, because I think understanding sport is one of the first steps to be able to enjoy sport and all that it has to offer. So absolutely. And then you talked about letting a venue know ahead of time. So currently, we need to have an agreement set up with the specific teams in order to bring devices into that venue. And then from a fan perspective, once devices are there, all you have to do is contact guest services ahead of time and they'll set a device aside for you. Or you could walk in if one is still available and check it out. And then eventually when we have the at-home device, you could stream every day from the comfort of your sofa if you had your own.
Thank you very much for answering those questions. I'm excited to look into it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And our last hand is Livy.
My question is, have you considered the Olympics? That's about the only sports that I like to watch. And unfortunately, I have an old TV and it does not have audio description. So if we ever get a new TV, that'll be great. But would that be a possibility in the future?
I mean, LA 28 is just around the corner, so it's definitely on our radar. We would love to support both the Olympics and the Paralympic Games. It's important for us that if we were to be able to support the games, we would do both. And then figuring out what sports, there's so many para sports, figuring out which sports that we'd want to try in our first debut at the Olympic level. And Paralympic level, because I think it would be quite a feat to do every single para sport that will be at the 2028 games. But we want to be there, and we're starting those discussions already.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, all right. Well, thank you, Bree, and thank you, Leslie, for an excellent presentation. I'm a big Dodgers fan myself and would love to get a feel for the movement of the ball and everything. So
awesome. Thank you so much for having us.
One thing I wanted to
go ahead, Tazi.
lesson. It's interesting because I used to, when you know, we have two tickets, and a couple months ago, Jeff couldn't go, and I couldn't find anybody to come with me at the last minute. So I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go anyway, because before I would have been like, oh, I don't want to go by myself. I don't want to do that. You know, I'm just sitting there, no one to talk to or whatever. Now I have something to focus on. And so I was just like, wow, okay. It doesn't matter where somebody's going or not. I'm going because I've got something to look forward to, and I can concentrate on this. And it really was great. It was really good.
So thank you too again for a very good presentation. All right, we're going to move forward here, and the next thing on the agenda is a chapter of the year.
I think we have two more, right?
Presentation.
There's two more, right?
Larry is available.
Hello, everybody. This is Pamela Metz, and I'm chair of the Sunshine Committee with the Los Angeles chapter of the California Council of the Blind. And we believe in paying it forward. The Greater Los Angeles chapter members have been paying it forward and donating foods and goods and clothes throughout the Los Angeles area for years. The Greater Los Angeles chapter believes that what we have, we can share, and what someone else needs, we can share. During the fires, I donated food and clothes to the San Fernando Mission and had them sent to the mission in Los Angeles to give goods to the people who were affected by the fires. Hello again, my name is Pamela Metz, and I'm chair of the Sunshine Committee for the Greater Los Angeles Chapter of the California Council of the Blind.
All right. Thank you, Pam.
I think we have another one, don't we, for today?
One more.
One more.
Yes, do one more.
Play that.
All right.
Our chapter, the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, is proud of the strides that we have made to support the blind and low vision community. We have 63 active members, and this membership continues to grow every year. And the reason for this is that our members actively invite others to join in on our chapter meetings. Our monthly programs include membership offerings, where our members share their tips, their tricks, their personal stories, and also their achievements. We also have weekly meetings where individuals check in to problem solve, to lend support, and most importantly, share lighthearted humor. For years, we have produced a monthly newsletter, the InTouch newsletter, that circulated to our members and to our greater community. This outreach helps us to keep members informed, to promote involvement. Being in Silicon Valley, we believe that it's important that we have a presence, and our website is to help us to promote the work that we do and to encourage our supporting government and city entities to learn about SVCB and CCB. One of the basic foundations of our chapter is mentorship and leadership. We actively support new members and learn about ways to be involved. This includes community work, running for the board, and leading task team. We believe in giving back. For over 15 years, we have funded our annual technology grant. Individuals age 16 and older have been awarded grants that help them to pursue their academic, their career, and their individual quality of life goals. We also regularly donate to causes that promote the quality of life for the blind and low vision community. And an example of this is our annual sponsorship of the Braille Challenge. Social gatherings also help our members to bring their families, their friends, and their colleagues into our network, including our annual picnic, our holiday party, and our annual old-time radio event. Our work is not just about today. It's about building a better and more inclusive and accessible future for all involved.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, I'm glad we played that one, or I'd be in real trouble. So, Silicon Valley, there you go.
Glad I was able to save you.
All right, well, our final item is going to be, well, after door prize, we'll have announcements. And we'll be ready for our banquet that'll start at 5 on regular Zoom. So, Lisa, are you available to do another drawing?
I'm still here.
Great.
So we're going to do a $25 Amazon gift card from CCB.
Thank you.
And the winner is David Jackson. Congratulations,
hey,
David.
Mr. DJ, way to go. All right, so let's go ahead and now open up to any closing announcements.
Sure. Thank you guys for your active participation today. So I have gone ahead and sent out the emails for the link for the banquet, which is going to be on regular Zoom. Pretty soon here, I'm going to send out the link for the hospitality suite and where that's going to be located. So be looking for your email on that around the 5 o'clock hour. So you should be receiving that pretty soon here. So thanks to everybody. Thanks to our presenters. And thanks to our Zoom host, Natalie, and I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the streamer's name. I'm blanking.
It's Rick Morin.
Oh, it is Rick Morin. Hello, mm-hmm. Rick. Well, thank you, Rick, for streaming and staying with us. And we are in recess till the banquet.
All right. See everybody at 5.